Baker. Sir Johnson.
Chickens, did I?
We on?
Joe?
Oh, okay. Good morning. The Senate Education Committee will come to order. Today is Tuesday, February 24, 2015. We're in the Policy Committee, and today we have before us confirmation of Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius. And we'll ask the Commissioner to address the committee.
Next item.
We'll take a brief pause.
Yes. My watch must be fast. I'm not 10 minutes late yet. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Senator Weger.
And before us is your confirmation, and we have already confirmed you previously, but it's necessary for a reaffirmation at this point, and so if you could highlight for the record your background and key points for consideration.
Right. Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you again for having me here today. I want to just start a little bit. Many of you know much about me after 4 years and my biographical information as being a teacher, starting out actually as a paraprofessional, a teacher, a school assistant principal for many, many years, and a district associate superintendent and then superintendent. So I've done just about everything except drive the bus when it comes to schools, and I really have loved my job being an educator for 25 years. But there comes a time when you make tough choices in your life. And 4 years ago, I left the superintendency, a job that I loved, to become commissioner. It wasn't an easy decision for my family and me, and signing up for another 4 years was just as difficult of a decision. But my reasons ring true today as they did 4 years ago. Serving the nearly 1 million children and over 60,000 teachers, principals, and support staff in this great state is an opportunity most don't get. It's not easy. Public service requires much, as you all well know. But the opportunity to make a difference for this great state is why I sit before you again today asking for your confirmation. Although much has been accomplished, there's still a lot more to do, and I'd like to be able to highlight some of that for you. If I could define what has driven our work in education over the past 4 years under Governor Dayton's leadership, it would be this: creating equity and excellence. You can't have one without the other. Equity has always been a core part of my belief system, and for the past 4 years, it's been front and center in every decision that I've made. The conversation in Minnesota has shifted to all kids, and there's a new consciousness about our disparities and a new urgency to finally do something about them. The people of Minnesota are finally demanding more of their schools and demanding that every child get an excellent education. They're no longer complacent with just some kids getting a great education and some being left behind. It has not been easy. When I came to work at that first day, we were faced with struggling schools who were not receiving the support they needed to thrive for far too long. We had a broken education funding system, and we had some of the highest achievement gaps in the nation. So with equity and excellence always in the front of my mind, we rallied and we dug in and we got to work. We invested in our schools, and with your help, we turned around a decade of disinvestment, paying back the school shift and providing the funds necessary to keep the lights on, To date, Minnesota has invested an additional $895 million in our children over the past 4 years. In fact, the funding gap between the highest and lowest 5% of revenue-earning districts will fall to 18.5% by the end of this biennial budget in 2016, a more than 12% decrease since 2013. We redefined how our schools are measured and supported. We applied for and received a waiver from the No Child Left Behind law, instead instituting a new accountability system, the multiple measurements rating, that has a more reliable system and provides clear data to schools on how they are doing and what schools need a little extra help. We also passed the world's best workforce in 2013, which is a state accountability system that we'll be using to be able to look at the five key goals and five key research areas for schools: kindergarten readiness, third grade literacy, high school graduation, career and college readiness, and closing achievement gaps by 50% by 2017. We realize these are ambitious goals, but we think we can achieve them with the right amount of support to teachers and to our schools. We created nationally recognized regional centers of excellence. This unique model of school support sends teams of education specialists to provide direct, ongoing coaching support to our priority and our focus schools, the schools that are struggling the most, helping them successfully implement turnaround strategies and increase student achievement and close gaps. We rebuilt relationships. You'll be hearing from our Indian Ed tribal leaders this week in hearing. And in 2011, we hired a director of Indian education. We've held yearly summits with our 11 tribal nations, strengthening relations and working to address the achievement gap with our American Indian students. We've recognized the importance of early education. With the governor's help, we began our journey to invest in our youngest learners. We won the Race to the Top grant for $45 million, and over the past several years, together we've invested an additional $56 million in early learning scholarships, so an estimated 9,000 more 3- and 4-year-olds could benefit from improved access to high-quality education. And as you know, in this year's governor's budget, we expand that to public school option as well. Together, we enacted a bipartisan Read by Well third grade initiative, ensuring every district has every child on track at third grade. We developed a strong partnership with our Reading Corps, and over $50 million in incentive aid has anchored our effort, resulting in increased literacy scores for fourth graders and closures of gap on our National Assessment for Educational Progress. We worked with districts on expansion of free and all-day kindergarten. An estimated 99.5% of our eligible kindergarten-age students are currently participating, saving families on average of $2,500 per year and up to $5,000 per year for some families. We removed barriers to graduation. We have made our testing better. We made them online, adaptive, off-grade level. We've improved our reporting so that teachers have access to those results immediately, and we've created an easily accessible, mobile-friendly app for our parent report cards so that they have the data they need regarding not only their child's performance, but the performance of their school and district. And we got results. Let me just share some of those. The 2014 graduation rate was the highest in over a decade, and spoiler alert, we just announced at 8 a.m. that this year's graduation rate is even higher. Minnesota fourth graders are first in the nation and for mathematics. Minnesota black students are fourth in the nation. They moved up from 24th. Minnesota fourth graders are 10th in the nation from reading, moving up from 22nd. Minnesota fourth graders closed the white and black achievement gap in half from 33rd to 17th. Minnesota's first in the nation, eighth consecutive year on the ACT. Minnesota's 7th in math in the World TIMS and 6th in science on the World TIMS assessment. And 78% of Minnesota priority schools improved their MMR performance. 71% of our focus schools improved their performance. 27 priority and focus schools did so well they exited their status. And 20 Minnesota schools have received reward status for 3 years in a row. We've made incredible progress over the last 4 years. And if you don't believe me, go and visit a school in your area. Feel the difference. There's energy, excitement, and teachers feel supported. But again, like I said, there's still much to do. I'm excited for what we will accomplish in the next 4 years. We've laid out the groundwork, and now, with equity and excellence always in the front of our minds, we can cultivate a public school system that will benefit every child in Minnesota for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Quorum's present. Questions, comments? Senator Deems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Caecilius. I just have a couple of questions here. The first one is, in 2011, when the bill was passed and Governor Dayton signed it into law to streamline the licensure of out-of-state teachers that are coming into Minnesota, and I think MinnPost probably summarized it pretty good last week when they said that out-of-state teachers getting a license in Minnesota is kind of like a bureaucratic snipe hunt. I understand that the Board of Teaching and the Governor, Board of Teaching especially, has a lot to do with this, and the Governor appoints these folks, but what are you doing to get this process moving in the right direction and make this easier? This is a real issue, and with teacher shortages and stuff, I think we need to get more serious about that. And could you tell me what you're going to be doing or what you have done to try this move forward? And if you have done something, what can we do to make that more successful?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator, the Board of Teaching is an independent agency from the Minnesota Department of Education, so I have very limited authority over the board. Actually, none. but I can urge and influence, and as written in the MinnPost article, I did write a letter on the process. I have attended their meetings, and we've made comment about the process and getting the process going for out-of-state. And then most recently, I believe Rose Hermanson provided this body and the House with a report from P20 where we looked at out-of-state licensing. We looked at our licensing overall, supply and demand, and made recommendations based on that. So we've had task forces and we've made recommendations to this body, but I have very limited authority outside of a written letter in which to move the board with that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up.
Senator Deems.
And I understand that you have very limited authority with the Board of Teaching, but you are appointed by the governor, and the governor does appoint the folks in the Board of Teaching. So I would hope that you insert your influence, which I personally would believe you would have quite a bit with the governor, insert that influence to have the governor carry this out so that we get something done. If it means changing the Board of Teaching, maybe then that's what he needs to do. If not, then maybe he has to encourage the Board of Teaching to take a look at that law that was passed in 2011 so that we can start doing things to get that carried out. I would appreciate if you would do that.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Chairman Wieger. Also in 2011, there was a law enacted with an alternative teacher preparation provision. There's not been a single teacher that has come about as a result of that. From the outside looking in, and this is just my third session, but looking into it, it would seem that basically the Board of Teaching and the department basically ignored the law. There was really, I don't think, as I can tell, any serious effort made to ever facilitate that alternative pathway. I guess I would like to hear your comments on why that happened.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Weber, we do have an alternative pathway, and folks just haven't signed up to do the application and move through other than Teach for America. And they did have some teachers each year in their program who do go through the process of alternative licensure. We also have a program that this body supports called the Q program, the Collaborative Urban Educators Program, where we work with Hamline and we work with Concordia, Augsburg, and St. Thomas to bring in out-of-field licensed teachers into teacher ed, and so they are working on that program. There's a lot more still yet to do on teacher supply and demand. I look forward to working with this body on good ideas and moving forward to try to encourage more teachers to go into the field, as well as folks who are out of the field. The governor felt really good about the alternative pathway bill. It's one of the first things he passed off of his desk, and it was a tough thing to get done. We got it done, and the Board of Teaching, I believe, has a process in which colleges and universities and other organizations can go through that process. And so they may be able to provide more technical knowledge and facts about where they're at in that process.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That may be true, but in visiting with my schools, I think that the general feeling is that there has not been much accommodation made in making this possible, and that there's probably been more roadblocks that have been thrown in the way of people trying to find an alternative way to becoming licensed. And I don't believe that the overall pursuit of this program has in any way, shape, or form worked. And as a result, we have seen, I think, qualified people that should be in front of our students, unable to find a way to be there. Thank you.
Okay. Senators Stump, Bonoff, Chamberlain.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, one of the things that you did not mention, which I think is worth mentioning, is the role that a commissioner plays in surrounding him or her with good people.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that at least my working on the education end of it was very important, is to have those good people. And obviously a number of them have come from the Senate, which makes it even better. So, but I do concur that there are a number of things that we need to continue to work on. Some of them have been almost like a lifelong effort and still haven't quite completed, you know, like opportunity for all districts to participate in the performance evaluation system, which is what they call it now, opportunity for school facilities to be addressed across the state versus just the really large districts. And these are huge programs, very important to all the districts, and hopefully this year, or at least very soon, we may be able to find some way to address those large issues. So, I do want to compliment you on your work and the number of committees or commissions that I've worked on with so many others across the state to try to find some resolution to some way to make education in Minnesota better. So thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Stump, thank you. I have my team I was going to introduce at the end because some of them are still coming. They are just incredible team that I've been able to assemble for the leadership team. But I also want to recognize the incredible, dedicated state employees who've been there for many, many years at the agency. I never quite understood as a superintendent all of the inner workings that go on to support us in our schools. And I've really come to appreciate all of the professionals that are in the state agency and their years of dedicated service that they've given, like Dr. Tom Melcher, Audrey Bomstead, who just retired. We have just a number of folks who are so talented and so committed and dedicated to the children and teachers of this state. So thank you for that comment.
Thanks. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, Senator.
Congratulations on the results that you have shared with us this morning. Those are new results, and that is really wonderful, wonderful progress. I hope that we can see, is there perhaps more detail that the committee will get so that we can look through those results? That's one thing. And then I have really appreciated the that's all right. I have really appreciated your work with the higher ed world and your commitment to making sure that the K-12 seamless, you know, delivery into higher ed works. And I know that there is tremendous work to be done on that. And so thank you for your partnership in that. I do think it's worth saying, as Senator Weber talked about, this business about the Board of Teaching and its role in supporting or not supporting alternative licensure is extremely problematic and disappointing. And so you aren't, you know, responsible, but I think that we would be not completely forthright if we didn't acknowledge at this table that, you know, yes, no organization followed through and applied as they should have. I believe Teach for America is not even complete through that process yet, but they did bring waiver after waiver after waiver request, and it was very problematic. And so there's no reason for how problematic it's been, as well as that very law said that they must provide a pathway for out-of-state, and that has not happened. And so I do not hold you accountable, Commissioner, for that, but I would ask Senator Wieger, given it's been brought up today, that we have at some point the Board of Teaching before the committee so we can have that conversation. And then lastly, just congratulations and thank you for your work.
Thank you. That is the plan to have the Board of Teaching.
Yeah. Great.
Senator Chamberlain, followed by Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner, for coming down. Good to see you again. Hey, I have to ask about the value of a high school graduation these days, given a couple of things. You're familiar with 120B02, which is a minimum level requirement for graduating, since you're also aware that we no longer have a graduation test per se, and the benchmarks are not on the new tests and on the tests as they are or as proposed. Secondly, after that, the 120B02 said, well, the schools have to come up with some grad standards that meet or exceed different levels. But since that time, students could simply refuse to get out of that. So that's just a little background. We have the tests that were no longer required, then the reduction of the to simply telling the schools they have to be offer these the certain curriculum, which is fine, I guess, to a point, but then even dropping that requirement to almost no requirement and letting students refuse to get through that. So then we come along to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and some other districts across the state. We're familiar with the proficiency. Everybody is talking about the great success. Well, Commissioner, math proficiency, reading proficiency in Minneapolis-St. Paul are in the 40s. And in St. Paul, reading proficiency is 38.4, unless the data from the department is wrong. But the graduation rates for Minneapolis are 54%, even lower for African-Americans still, and 73%. Stunningly, for St. Paul. So St. Paul, Minneapolis, math and reading proficiencies range from 38 to 45%, yet the graduation rates are 54 to 73. So could you help explain that disparity and how it is that one would imagine that if you're graduating, you can read at grade level, and whatever grade level is these days. So could you help explain that disparity? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Chamberlain, you brought up a lot of really great points, and I appreciate you bringing them up. We, Minnesota's been a leader in our national standards. So we have, in our state standards. So we adopted the math standards in 2007. They're highly rigorous. We were ahead of the nation in aligning those to Career and College Ready. As you remember, we started with the Minnesota Basic Standards, and those were very basic. But now our standards have gone up, and, of course, it takes an entire 12 years to go through all of our standards. So if you look at 2007 standards, add 12 years, it's 2019. That really will have a full set of students going through with these college and career-ready standards. That's why I think you see these graduation rates inching up each year, little by little because the kids are more and more prepared for college and career-ready expectations. 2010, we changed our reading standards to be more rigorous and aligned to college and career. So that's even further pushed out 12, 13 years to 2023 when we will see all of our students going through all of these reading standards. That's why at the early grades right now we're seeing such tremendous progress with our fourth graders on our NAEP, because we've put a lot of focus on building the foundation earlier, but now as the children work through the system with these new higher standards, we'll see more and more students prepared for college and career ready. In terms of the remedial education, and I know, Senator Bonoff, you would appreciate this, we had a Getting Ready report that's showing that our students are actually taking less remedial education now with our latest Getting Ready report. I, again, think this is tied to the higher standards that were put in place by the previous administration. We have not changed those standards, and they've continued now as students become, as teachers become better prepared, and they're focusing on their instructional methodology to address all of the students that come to them, very diverse student body. We've had growing poverty, and we haven't had in place strong preschool yet. It will just take time, but the system is improving and our results are improving, and you see this with the uptick. In terms of our reading score, Senator, we gave a new harder exam. It is completely different than the previous exam. We cannot compare the two because of the incredible rigor that's built into this new reading exam, and it's going to take a few years for us to bounce back. But we are bouncing back slowly but surely. This is why in my opening remarks I said there's still a lot of work to do. That's why standards implementation training for teachers, professional development for teachers, getting out in our regional centers of excellence, on-site coaching for teachers around instructional methodology is so critically important. I want to share just a brief comment about Minneapolis-St. Paul, which is a tremendous dilemma for us, Senator. We have offered support to Minneapolis and St. Paul many years, and they have declined that support because they are locally controlled board. And so they have a strategic plan. Their board has adopted that strategic plan, and I cannot interfere with that strategic plan. You have passed, this body passed in 2013, a law called the World's Best Workforce Plan. That plan allows the commissioner in which to set aside 2% of funding and work with local boards and superintendents 2 years out from today if they are not meeting the goals that they set within their community. So this body did put in place a World's Best Workforce accountability system for schools that will come to fruition in about 2 years. So we've just collected those summaries. I have just a handful of outstanding summaries from schools where we're looking at and analyzing and providing feedback over the next several months to school districts on how they're meeting their goals and sharing with them about that accountability. But they can still tell us, we don't want your support. And we've seen the schools that have chosen, mostly rural schools, to work with our regional centers of excellence have improved their graduation rates, have been able to see gap closure, and do have students growing faster.
Thank you. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, good to see you today.
Good to see you, Senator.
And to have this opportunity to hear more about this. Probably one of the things that I remember most some years ago is I had an opportunity to visit an inner city school. And I met with the principal. We had a great conversation, heard about his wonderful successes, the above average work that the students were doing, the measurement, and yet this was a very poor, low income, very difficult community. And I said, so what is the secret to your success when others aren't? And it was an interesting answer. And he said, well, he said, we have no excuses here. No excuses for the parents, no excuses for the kids, no excuses for the principal. He said, we are here and we have the children here all day. It's our job to take what we have and not make excuses. And I think that that is something today, though, that the governor appoints. I have no authority, you know. And I just feel really bad for the kids because we don't have alternative teachers. We don't have out-of-state teachers, and it's always somebody else is responsible. It's not me. And it makes me think that we could all take a lesson from this wonderful principal. And I think that there is the direct power and authority, but when you're the commissioner of education, you also have a bully pulpit authority. You have the ability to go to schools, to show leadership, to work with the governor. It's a tremendously powerful position, not just of some direct authority, but in a broader influence type of authority that I think is very, very important. And I would like to see more of that and less of the shuffling around. One of the things that I see in this regard is that, first of all, I'd like to see an example of the old reading test and the new reading test. I kind of like to see what that means, because reading to me is reading, and so especially at some of these levels. So, Mr. Chairman, that would be really helpful if we could actually see it for ourselves. It would be helpful. I think the second thing is I'm a little bit puzzled, as we have a 1% per pupil increase in each year, and yet there's a 33% increase in the Department of Education's own budget and an increase of 40 FTEs. So once again, it seems as though our local school districts who really do the work, who put their efforts there on a day-to-day basis, and yet on the highest level, we have an increase of employees and a 33% increase in the budget. So maybe you could kind of explain the dichotomy of those two.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kiffmeyer, over my 25 years of being a public educator, I have never made excuses. And I've always led my schools and teachers around a no-excuse mentality. And we've seen results because of that. It's about relationships. I think it's James Comer that says no significant learning happens outside a significant relationship. And so you have to have those strong, trusting relationships with your parents and with your teachers in order to move a school. In terms of the Board of Teaching, I did write letters to the Board of Teaching about their progress. And my staff does meet with the chair to move that board. They are an independent board, and there is a fine line between meddling and bully pulpit and influence. And even with our task forces that Rose Hermanson has done so wonderfully, Senator Stump, I try to stay out of those so that the information that you're getting is truly from the experts in the field. I try not to influence those types of deliberations because I always have the opportunity to give my opinion here. So as much as I can as commissioner, I set the bully pulpit in a moderated way that's respectful of the authorities in which local boards have, and then insert myself when I feel that it's stuck or needs a little push. But even so, I have very limited authority, in which, you know, if this body chose, it could change that and give the commissioner much more authority in the structure of the Board of Teaching. So I don't have excuses for you, and I did say that there's more work to yet be done on the teacher supply and demand side, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that together.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, when I joined the legislature 2 years ago, one of the first things we had to do was take up your confirmation, and there was a controversy around new social study standards that you had proposed and ended up in front of an administrative law judge. What I want to know is, based on that experience, what is your view of your role in setting standards and curriculum in relation to local school boards in this legislature?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, my role is to convene groups around standard setting as laid out by the legislature in the time frame in which to lay out standards. I have no role in developing curriculum and actually legislatively forbidden from developing local curriculum. So we have a very lengthy standard-setting process and that convenes stakeholder groups and experts within the field, higher ed professors who contribute to that knowledge. Those are written and drafted and reviewed and posted and comment. There's time for comments. Then it goes through a rulemaking process, and then the rulemaking completes itself, and if there's enough for a hearing, you hold hearings, and then you send it to the Secretary of State's office for final approval and acceptance into the record.
Senator Pratt. Thank you for walking me through the process. I guess I'm more interested in how you view your role, because when I talk to local school boards and local superintendents, they feel like it's a top-down approach, that some of these mandates are being forced on them. Where I would hope we're being more collaborative. We expect the local school boards, those people with election certificates, and people closest in their community to be making those decisions. And so I guess, again, I'd ask, when we, you know, looking back at this controversial social studies change, how has your view of your role working with the legislature and working with local boards changed, or do you feel like you have the ability to force these changes down?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, in regard to the social studies standards, I had a very limited role in the creation of those outside of the committee. Had already actually, the previous commissioner had started the selection committee for the committee that would review the social studies standards, and then that committee went through, I had to finalize the list of folks on that committee, and then they went through and created those, and then when they went into the record, I have no power in which to tell local boards, Senator Pratt, what curriculum that they use, but with standard setting, they are state standards. They are, students are required to meet the standards and the benchmarks that are agreed upon and put into rule. So I'm not aware of any superintendents ever complaining about my top-down, non-collaborative work with them. Matter of fact, I've heard the opposite. I give my phone number out to all of the superintendents that they have it. I get back to them typically immediately between meetings, but for sure within 24 hours. They get answers. I'm very collaborative and have worked with them in a very collaborative approach, open-door approach.
Thank you. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just did have to clarify one thing with regard to the Board of Teaching, because, Commissioner, the last time that we were stuck, it was your influence that got that process unstuck, and I don't know how you did it. It was not easy, but a large group of teachers who seemed to be teachers who were going to make a huge difference got through that process because of your behind the scenes. So sometimes we don't see outside what you're doing, but I have firsthand watched that, and thank you for that.
Senator and Mr. Chair, Senator, we also have had a number of task forces on a number of these issues as well, and brought recommendations for ways that we could expedite licensing, ways that we could expedite the testing. So I'm hoping that maybe this session we can get some further legislation to help move that process along, where I'm not having to insert myself, but that there's a direction to the board to act in certain ways.
Senator Chamberlain?
Yeah, just thank you, Mr. Chair. Just quickly, if the commissioner, if you could reconcile this for me as well. In your opening statements, you took credit for a lot of stuff. That's fine. But since that time, I've heard a lot of something else. Well, I have little control here. I can influence that. That's not where I have responsibility. So could you help reconcile that? You're taking credit for seemingly higher graduation rates and better performance in spite of the data we've seen here, and then tell us it's going to take 10 or 12 years to get this done. Well, a lot of people don't have 10 or 12 years to wait to get one shot. And then, on the other hand, saying, well, I really can't do anything about that. Could you help reconcile that a bit? Thank you.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you for that. It's just a really good reminder that none of us get here on our own, and I'm really not personally taking credit for these items. This is an entire team. I talked about my team at the department leading, but really this is about the great work of our teachers, our principals in our schools, really buckling down and ensuring that every child has what they need to succeed. I think our bipartisan agreement that we did on third grade literacy in 2011 has really compelled us forward, and districts have taken that and really worked with the Reading Corps and others to increase reading at the early grades. I think that districts have stepped up and offered preschool and all-day kindergarten even when we didn't fund it. You know, this is a story about Minnesota educators really buckling in and getting the work done. It's very little about, you know, all of the other stuff, you know, policies and budgets. Like I said, it's about relationships. It's about kids. It's about teachers. It's about just getting the work done. And we have a lot of great teachers in Minnesota. We need more of them, as has been the discussion here at the table. But I do think that there's some pieces of leadership that do matter, whether it's leadership in working with this body to enact the policies that have been the levers to help move us to a different place, whether it's been the leadership of the governor on early childhood, whether it's been the leadership of Jen Olson working with the governor to get the third grade literacy, whether it's been the leadership of this body in order to ensure that we had proper funding systems so that there was greater equity among our districts and zip code didn't matter so much. I mean, those things matter. Yes, you have election certificates, and you make tough decisions here every single day, as do I. And together, hopefully, we'll move forward the next 4 years to make even better investments in our schools and give teachers the kind of support that they need to succeed.
Further questions or comments from the committee? Senator Deems.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for being here today. Just one thing I wanted to bring up. There is quite a bit of discussion, especially in rural Minnesota, about the dollars per student that they get in versus to some of the other schools, and I don't know what your role in that could or can be, but anything you can do to help get some more dollars out to rural Minnesota so that those students can have some of the same opportunities as some of the other students do would certainly be appreciated. So anything you can do there, we would appreciate, and thank you.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Senator, one of the things we did in 2011 was create the small schools revenue. That was huge. Another big piece, I think, was the local optional levy to give school boards the opportunity to pass these referendum and provide greater equity. And we think that's what's really bringing down this disparity number between our most highest earning revenue districts and our lowest ones, from a high of 37% in 1992 disparity between our districts to now by 2016 it will be 18.5%. So we'll continue to work on that and continue to find ways to bring down those disparities.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments? I'll ask, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on the confirmation of Commissioner Casellas? We're about ready to entertain a motion, but Commissioner, I believe you wanted to introduce your
team. I did. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we have Charlene Briner, who is here, who's my chief of staff. She's my right hand. I don't think our deputy is here. Deputy Steve Dibb couldn't come. Wei Nguyen, who you know worked in the governor's office, is promoted to assistant commissioner over all of our government and state and federal. Sometimes people don't realize that we also play a really strong federal role, and I sit on the chief state school officers board to lead some of that work nationally. Then we have Denise Anderson, who is our chief financial officer. That's a new position that we put in place because of the $10 billion that goes through our organization, that we wanted to be sure that we were good stewards of the public dollars. Adosh Uni, who is here as our director of government relations as well. Any others here? And then, of course, Senator Stumpf was talking about Darren Cordy and Kevin McHenry, who are assistant commissioners who weren't able to be here today, who are absolutely terrific. So Rose Hermanson and then our communications director, Josh Collins, who's also couldn't make it because we're releasing our graduation requirements. So, our graduation numbers today.
Okay.
And the Lord has spoken.
It's a big deal.
That's interesting. Okay. Senator Johnson moves the appointment of Commissioner Brenda Casellius that it be confirmed and passed to the full Senate. Further discussion, comments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I'm very proud to make the motion to submit Commissioner Casellius for confirmation for the agency. I think she's done a wonderful job, and sometimes maybe one is too humble and isn't able to talk about all the accomplishments that have happened under your leadership, and I really appreciate those, and I would hope that the rest of the committee goes along with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Further comments? I just like to echo the same sentiments, and with the focus on the world's best workforce, and today rolling out a key indicator, the graduation rate. We'll be further discussing that in committee, as well as the other key benchmarks, and staying on focus with that. Progress is being made, and there will always be that challenge to improve, and the comments are duly noted for advice, and we know you're working on that. So there being no further discussion, Senator Johnson renews her motion for the appointment of Commissioner Brenda Casellius. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion adopted. Thank you very much, Commissioner. And the Education Committee for Policy is adjourned. Members, we're going to... Once we get the tape in, we're going to be meeting as the Finance Committee. And we have five items before us.